everybody. This is Jasmine, and I'm the Walking Dead girl.
Hey, and this is Michael.
If you're joining us for the first time, the purpose of this podcast is to review and discuss each episode of The Walking Dead. We're huge fans. We just wrapped up season one, and we just started last week. Now we're starting on season two, episode one, which I believe is called What Lies Ahead.
Yeah, this is actually becoming like a marathon for us.
I know.
we're now watching two episodes back to back and recording both episodes ahead of time just to save some time here. But we're running up against the wall, which is release of season four.
Yes, I know. Got to do some planning.
So we got to get through these episodes before season four starts.
But we're having fun, so it's no biggie.
And it's fun watching The Walking Dead. It's not a show you get bored of easily.
Exactly. Just a warning, we recommend you watch the episode before you listen to this podcast episode, as there will be spoilers, most definitely.
I guess at some point we have to stop saying that, but I guess we have to warn people, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to do a show like this without spoilers.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how we could possibly do it. Well, you know the thing that
happened
Rick
to this
did
person
over there, and yeah, we can't say what it is, but yeah, that was horrible.
So let's dive right in.
Yeah, at the beginning of this episode, we see Rick on the roof of a building in Atlanta, because I guess they just left the CDC.
Yeah.
And
so they're going back through Atlanta, I guess.
Yeah, and Rick is talking on the CB radio to Morgan, because he promised Morgan that he would talk to him every day.
I mean, we haven't heard a response yet, but...
Yeah, we don't know what's going on with Morgan. And Rick is saying, basically, kind of summarizing what happened in last season, just by talking to Morgan. He's kind of summarizing it for us, the audience.
Which is good. And we find out that the season starts up again a day and a half later from season one.
And they basically, what Rick's saying is that they decided to go to Fort Benning, which was
the military.
Originally Shane's idea.
Yes.
So now they're going back to Shane's idea. And there was one line that Rick said that the scientist told me something and he wanted to tell Morgan, but then he says, oh, never mind.
It doesn't matter.
He pauses and that's something that we forgot to mention last episode.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that right before they left, Jenner pulled Rick aside and said something in his ear.
Whispered something.
And yeah, so.
We know what it is because we watched the whole season, but we can't say yet.
I think this episode makes me uncomfortable because I know everything that's going to happen.
So it's different watching it when you know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, it hurts.
It hurts more.
Yeah.
Well, it gives you a chance to look back at the characters, how they reacted before something else happens that we can't talk about.
See, exactly. We can't even give away any spoilers. I just want to say I like the way Rick was talking, like so cool, like when he was reviewing stuff and talking to Morgan.
Yeah, basically saying that the CDC is a dead end, so don't even bother going there.
And then there was this iconic scene, or two of them, when Rick is walking away from the skyline of Atlanta, and then they're driving away on the opposite road.
Yeah,
out of
so
Atlanta.
There's the Gerald's motorcycle, there's the RV, and then there's another truck or something, like a pickup truck.
Yeah, so they were stalking. It looks like they took
it. And basically, Rick said that they had 125 miles to go.
Yep.
So they don't have enough gas. Well, they have a limited gas.
Yeah, and he mentions something about he's battling with losing faith in the whole thing. He has to stay strong and all that, you know, still battling with that. And
so that's showing his struggle. Well, he did reveal at the CDC that to Jenner that he's weak and, you know, he thinks basically there's no hope.
Yeah, but he has to stay strong for his family and the whole group and all that, which kind of takes a turn for his character because this whole time we thought he was just the big Mr. Hope guy.
We thought he was Superman.
Yeah. And we also see, I don't know if you noticed this, but when they were like panning over the group, they I saw Rick giving, you know, Lori and Carl a look, and then Rick turned to Shane is like smiling, and then Rick's like, yeah, but I don't know.
Well, the thing is that Shane was looking at Rick because Rick kissed Lori, and he's like, he still has that thing, you know, hey, look.
I know.
He's looking at them in this weird way.
Like, get over it. You don't have a family. Deal with it. Damn.
And everybody piles up in the car. So what do you think about this idea of going to Fort Benning?
Waste of time. I mean, look at the CDC. That was a total lost cause. Like, what did they expect to get from the military base?
Yeah. It would probably just be another burnt up place.
Exactly. Where is the military anyway? I mean, if the base was really there, wouldn't they be sending out people?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any hope there. I mean, I think it's a dead end myself.
But they, again, like we talked about last week, you got to keep hope, you know, you got to have some goal, some destination, mm-hmm. or else everyone wants to kill themselves.
Something to keep going. And they're riding in, and basically there's one short scene where Laurie actually is saying that, oh, I remember the time we went to the Grand Canyon. It was just one of those family moments, right?
Yeah, I like that scene because they looked really happy.
And it's Rick saying, yeah, even though Carl threw up and everything, they never went to the Grand Canyon. They still had a great time. And I guess it was one of those happy family moments.
Yeah, and then Sophia chirps up, like, I want to go to the Grand Canyon too.
And Carl wants to go to the Grand Canyon. So, yeah. It was one of those moments, I guess.
And they're kind of like wishful thinking, you know?
Yeah, they're not going to go to the Grand Canyon. No time for tourism now. It's time for survival.
But it would be nice, though, if you had a smaller group and you're just traveling a lot, you can just go to all those your favorite places, you know? I mean, I guess.
Yeah, you can go anywhere you want now, I guess. As long as you have enough.
Oh, that's true.
Fuel and you can ransack something.
Right. Yeah, and then Daryl's finally on his awesome motorcycle. I don't think at all in season one we ever saw Daryl on his motorcycle.
Yeah, they never showed it a lot, but on this one they had a good scene of him riding along. And there's another, as they're driving, there's another scene inside the RV where Andrea is looking at Shane cleaning his gun.
Yep, and there's a tiny bit of bonding time because, you know, Shane's kind of talking to Andrea about how to clean the gun and how many chambers and whatever. And then,
oh, we're going to talk about that sign in the RV.
Oh yeah. The sign in the RV behind Andrea said, I didn't write it down. What did it say?
How about a nice cup of shut the hell up?
Which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah. Cause Andrea's just staring out there like, what's going on? And then they just show that sign sitting there. It's really funny.
Yeah.
So what happens next?
What happens next is the RV, I guess, the front of it just goes up in smoke, and I guess the radiator hose did not work. The magical fix for the radiator hose didn't work out.
Well, before that, though, they came across the block in the road, right?
Oh, yeah. They came across the block in the road.
It kind of happened at the same time.
I was like, how convenient.
Yeah. They came across this. Basically, it's a good scene where there's a lot of cars piled up.
Which is my favorite scene, actually.
Why? You like that?
I like that scene because it's such a classic, because there's always... Because everyone in the apocalypse, everybody's trying to get out. So there's obviously going to be traffic jams. And that's, I think I talked about this before. It's the worst place to be in apocalypse because everybody's trying to get out. And then especially when probably half the people on the highway are infected, it's not the best escape route or whatever. It's basically like a graveyard because they panned over the whole highway and everyone's like dead and the cars are all like askew and the doors are open and there's trash everywhere. It kind of really paints a picture of what happened. Everything's just frozen, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it looks, one thing I was interesting was that everyone in the car was dead. I guess they weren't zombies though, right?
Yeah, which is weird.
They were just dead bodies.
Why were they dead? How did they die then?
Yeah. Do you think it look like a car accident?
No, it didn't.
Was it like a pileup?
No. It looked like a lot of people left their cars.
They just abandoned them.
Yeah.
So it didn't look like there was a car accident and then everybody...
I mean, technically, there could be a car accident.
So I didn't see a specific accident. I just saw a bunch of cars. Well, there was one overturned sideways and stuff. So maybe
That's probably why everyone stopped, because there was an overturned truck.
Yeah, and then maybe just all mayhem happened and then people started eating each other.
Paints a little history there.
Well, it's interesting to kind of speculate what happened, right?
Yeah. Anyway, the RV breaks down again and they have to find a radiator hose, and everyone's kind of happy because they have all these supplies. T-Dog's like, well, at least we can get gas, and then
What was funny was Dale comes out and he's like, that's great. Now we're in the middle of nowhere with no supplies or anything. And then he sees Shane scavenging around and he goes, well, that was a dumb thing to say.
Yeah.
Well, I just realized that was a dumb thing to say. And then we have actually lots of supplies.
Yeah, a lot, because everyone's packing everything on their way out. And then Lori's like, this place is a graveyard. I don't know what I feel about this. And I'm like, really? Really? You hit the jackpot and you're feeling like, I don't know if I should take from people. They're dead. They're gone. Take what you can now before it's too late.
Yeah.
There's too much humanity in her.
But that didn't last long.
Yeah.
Everybody just started.
Everyone just ignored her.
Just started going crazy.
I love Dale's face. He had a couple good faces. Facial expressions in the scene. He was on top of the RV again, scouting and all that.
No, he was, yeah, him and, so Andrea was in the RV cleaning her gun and,
Oh, are we going to talk about the scene with Carol?
No, basically, Andrea was in cleaning her gun. Rick and Dale were just looking around and everybody else was scavenging and stuff. And then, Shane finds some water.
Oh yeah. And he's like, it's like the water cooler waters, mm-hmm. but like a whole truck of them.
Yeah.
So he pops one open, and he baptizes himself in the water.
Yeah, we got lots of water now.
And then Carol.
And then what?
Oh, and then Carol's like, she finds a nice red shirt. She's like, oh, this is nice. And then she turns to look at Lori, who's giving her this look like, okay. And then she goes off saying how her husband never lets her wear nice things and all that. I don't know why Lori's just like, I don't want to do this.
And then Dale. With his beady eyes and his binoculars.
His all-seeing eye.
He spots a zombie or two. And then Rick sees a zombie and he's pointing his gun. And
he's about,
like,
to shoot.
Okay, there's one zombie. I guess I'll shoot it from here. And then he sees a second one and then a third one and a whole bunch of them.
Like a horde, yeah.
Which later they called, it's like a horde.
I think they said herd, right?
A herd, yeah.
Yeah.
A herd. And then all hell breaks loose.
This is my favorite scene. This is my favorite
Everyone's scene. Everyone's like, just.
Yeah. So that's my favorite part because half the group didn't even know. So, like, Rick says, get under the cars and drags people underneath them. And Glenn is, oh, yeah, we forgot to mention the part where, like, when Shane was, you know, dousing himself in water. Glenn's like, yeah. And he's has a screwdriver and he's getting all excited, but he doesn't do anything. You notice that? He's just there. He's like,
Glenn is like just screwing his hose or whatever.
I don't know what he was doing.
He's screwing his hose. That doesn't sound perverted. Dale's like unscrewing and screwing his hose.
So Rick tells everyone to get underneath the cars, and then Shane just grabs Glenn and just drags him underneath the car. And then it was kind of emotional too, because Lori and Carol were underneath the car together, but their kids weren't with them. Because Carl and Sophia were playing around, so they were in a separate cars, like across the highway from them. And so I was like, oh, that's so scary. Imagine being a kid and this horde is walking by and you watching them. You have to be really quiet. And I thought that was really good. And then for some reason, T-Dog was the only one not underneath a car. And he was just like scrambling around. And then he trips and slices his whole arm open and blood is like gushing everywhere.
Yeah, well, that's a big gash and there's a lot of blood shooting out there.
And then didn't you mention something about the zombie's sense of smell?
Well, I think so. First of all, I guess they're under the car. I guess none of the zombies smelt them, right?
Guess not. Oh yeah, Andrea was in the RV too. She wasn't underneath.
Yeah, she was in the RV. Yeah, so everyone's jumping down to get cover. And yeah, that cut that T-Dog had on his arm was really bad.
Yeah.
It was.
Ooh, he was losing a lot of blood too.
Yeah, and it was dripping everywhere. And that was kind of more smell for the zombies.
And Andrea was in her car in the RV still like cleaning her gun. And then she notices that there's a whole bunch of zombies walking by.
She hits the deck.
Yeah. I like that scene. That was funny. And then a walker ends up in the RV somehow.
Yeah, so there's a scene where the walker gets in the RV and he's slowly moving around, sniffing around. And he finally senses that Andrea is in the bathroom.
Yeah.
In the stall of the RV.
And she took her gun with her. And that's in pieces.
So she's trying to put together, and I guess the zombie heard the gun.
Yeah.
The pieces.
Yeah.
Fall to the floor.
And basically, that's when he started like
pounding on the door.
And she starts screaming, which obviously confirmed. And then Dale pops his head up from the ceiling window and hands her a screwdriver. And basically, Andrea gets her way out of that one.
Yeah.
Oh, very gruesome.
What happened?
She basically took the screwdriver to the zombie's eye and just stabbed him a whole bunch of times. And then blood was all over her. And her mouth was wide open, too. I was like, oh, if blood went in her, she was done. But I like that scene. That was really good. And she was very emotional, too. She's kind of crying. I guess that was like technically her first zombie kill, which is radically different from what we see Andrea now.
Yeah. So she's stabbing the walker in the eye with the screwdriver, and so that walker's dead. And then there's a scene where with Shane and T-Dog. Oh, sorry, not Shane.
No, you mean Daryl?
Daryl.
Oh, yeah. I was like, huh, no. Yeah. So basically T-Dog was like passing out from the loss of blood, and a walker found him and was going towards him. So Daryl popped out of behind a car and basically took an arrow and attacked the walker. Really nice kill.
No, and was it with an arrow or was it just a screwdriver underneath the skull?
No, he took one of his arrows.
Oh, by his hand.
Yeah, with his hand.
Yeah.
And he killed it. And then he put the walker on top of T-Dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, he has an open wound, and putting the walker on top of him, isn't that like, you know, spreading of the infection?
Yeah, well,
and then
there's a lot of weird. I mean, you can't be super accurate with stuff like this.
I know. And then he takes it, and then he takes another walker from a car and puts it on top of himself, Daryl.
And they had the walker's mouth.
It was like right on top of his mouth.
Like it was like Daryl was making out with the walker.
I know.
They're kissing it.
Yeah, so that saves them from a passing horde.
You know, when I was watching them walk around, you know, I know they're basically, I guess they're actors, you know, pretending to be zombies. But if this was real, like realistically, like if it was realistic and the zombies were really just moving around, then wouldn't they be like bumping into stuff a lot? Like they'd be walking in a straight line, right? They would hit a car and they would just keep bumping against the car.
No, they wouldn't. They're not that stupid. They're stupid, but not that stupid.
Oh, okay.
Like they still have their brainstem, they can see.
Oh.
So they go around stuff, but they don't have like the hand eye coordination to open things. Like, I mean, an animal can go around stuff. They're basically like animals.
Okay.
Technically.
Yeah.
They're just hungry all the time.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's a good point.
I'm just saying that so they're a little bit smart, but not that smart.
Yeah. I mean, they're humans.
Like they're smart enough to go inside an RV, to climb up the stairs.
Well, the door was open.
Yeah, but they still have to climb up the stairs.
Well, you've seen zombies climb up stairs before.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, not ladders, because again, they don't have the coordination to, but
so they can't climb up a ladder, but they can climb upstairs.
Yeah, because ladders take both your arms and your legs and coordination, but going upstairs, you just got to lift your feet up.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Analyzing. So they think that the horde is passed and everyone relaxes a bit. And then Sophia starts to walk out. Sophia is Carol's daughter.
The herd, whatever you want to call it, didn't completely pass because there was one or two zombies left behind. And they started chasing after Sophia, who was under the car.
Yeah.
And Sophia freaks out and she starts running like into the forest.
Well, I don't understand why. I don't know. I just didn't like that scene because why would she go into the forest?
Yeah.
Couldn't she just go around the car?
She could have run around the car and she could have went back the opposite direction of where the walkers came from. Where the walkers came from, right? Because walkers were going in one direction, but she could be running in the opposite direction along the road.
And then someone would get, because they're walking, they're not really running after her. So then someone would probably by then get out of the car.
Well, Sophia was running pretty fast and the walkers were running.
They weren't running. They were shuffling.
How'd they catch up to her?
Because she fell a whole bunch of times, probably.
Yeah.
Well, I would have done was basically like, because I knew people saw that. Like, I know I'm not alone. Like, I know I'm not the only one that's seeing this right now, that I'm getting chased by zombies. So then I would go around to where the other people with guns are and just let them shoot them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Get them in their shot instead of running into the forest where no one can find you.
Yeah. And she's smart enough to know about guns because she made a comment later on. So Rick starts running after her.
And is the only one running after her, by the way.
Yeah. And basically, this is an important scene because he catches up to her, carries her, and realizes that
there's no way to go.
He has to basically kill them because they're going to keep following him. So he basically tells Sophia, hide under this log or this crevasse in the side of a river. And then to
wait for her. Wait for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, if he doesn't come back, keep the sun to your on the left shoulder with some survival tips. And I'll be back, but wait there. Of course.
And just at the moment he leaves right away.
She leaves.
She leaves right away. She doesn't even wait.
I know, which doesn't make any sense at all. I would have waited. Because then if you're going by yourself, then there's more chances that a walker would find you on your way there.
I would wait, yeah.
So Rick dispatches the two zombies.
With rocks.
Yeah. And goes to find that she's gone. And then the rest of the group's like, well, she couldn't have gone far. And then that's when Daryl steps up and says, I know the woods, and starts tracking her trail. And they basically find nothing.
So Rick and Daryl go into the woods. I think it was just the two of them, right?
Yeah.
And Daryl's because he grew up in the woods and everything, and he was hunting and stuff. So he knows how to track things. So yeah. He's a lot more experienced in the woods than Rick is. Because there was one scene where Daryl's like, oh, I can still see the tracks. And Rick's like, went this way. I can't. And Rick's like, I can't see anything. There's a bunch of leaves and dirt and stuff.
Yeah.
What the hell are you seeing?
He's like, do you want a lesson on how to track, or do you want to find Sophia?
Yeah.
So basically they come across this other zombie that they might have been chasing after Sophia because she went into a different direction, right?
Yeah.
Then if she just kept going straight, she could have made it back to camp, back to the main road, but she didn't. So they find this zombie and they kill it. And they say, and Rick's like, there's flesh in his teeth, right? So we have to check. So they cut open the zombie's stomach and they don't show us right away, but the sounds just are just enough and the expressions are just enough. Man, that was the point.
Well, they don't show the stabbing and cutting part, but they show
the sounds.
They show the part where he's pulling out the stomach and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that sold me there. I was like, this is my show. Oh, that was so gross.
Yeah. Stomach looked like a little plastic bag.
I know.
which probably was. But anyway, it looked gross. And it was all black and everything. You know, because when you cut a human open, you expect it to be like red and, you know, more.
But it's dead, so.
But it's a zombie, so everything's black in there. And it turns out that he was just a hedgehog or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A woodpecker or a hedgehog?
Woodpecker. Woodpecker's a bird.
Oh, it's a bird. A beaver or something. Something with teeth that likes to carve out wood.
Yeah. So there's a scene, where Carl is, oops, <What's that? laughs> sorry for the banging. So there was a scene where Carl is, what's he doing? Oh yeah. He's trying to get some, an axe or some knives.
Which I researched at the time when I saw that episode, that the axe or the bag of weapons actually belongs to Bear Grylls, or his, not Bear Grylls himself, but he has his own line of weapons, like survival weapons.
You think so?
Yeah. I remember researching it. I was like, oh my God, these are so cool.
And I think that's the first moment that we see the writers of the show giving Carl some...
Directive, like some action.
Some balls.
Yeah.
Okay, so Carl's going to be doing something that's outside of being a kid.
Going off on his own, basically.
Yeah, so Carl made his own decision, say, oh, I found some knives and stuff, and I'm going to go get them.
Yeah, so the audience is like, we don't know if this zombie who's carrying the weapons inside the truck is dead or not. So we basically have to just wait. Turns out it's still dead. It's dead. And he gets the weapons and he returns it back to Lori and Shane. And Lori's like, go give those to Dale. And then Carl's kind of wants Shane to take sides with Carl and let him have one to play with or something. And then Shane just totally blows him off and gives him the cold shoulder. He's being kind of rude. And then Lori's like, what was that? You didn't have to blow him off that way. And I was like, what did you expect? You told him not to. I don't know. I don't get it. She's the parent. She said no.
I think Shane was just supporting Lori.
Yeah.
She was like looking. He was looking at Lori and saying that, oh, I guess I should say something to make it easy. Just to agree with Lori.
And then Lori's like, why did you have to do that for? You totally just crushed him. Like, what? I don't know. And again,
Lori. Yeah, Lori has a weird feeling because she wants Shane to sort of stay away and not interfere with her marriage, but she still wants Shane to be a part of her life.
Yeah.
Like a part of Carl's life for some reason. I don't know why.
I think she feels like, because Rick is still, has no idea and still thinks of Shane as a friend, so she can't really completely get rid of him. And then Shane says, well, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
He says, this car here, which is a nice little car.
Nice Hyundai commercial. I think that's sponsored.
Yeah. Because I remember they used that car in the future. Remember?
Like in the future, like in
science. Future episodes.
Okay. Are we going to the future?
No.
Time travel?
Yeah. So he says, I'm leaving.
Yeah. So they're leaving and.
No, he's going to leave by himself.
Yeah. He's going to take off in his nice Hyundai, fully loaded Hyundai.
And before they can continue the argument, he starts up the car and a radio goes off in the car. Basically, it's a recording of a military
emergency
broadcast
system, which is bogus. Just a recording.
What did they say?
I don't know. If you're listening to this, that this is an emergency. Something like that.
Right.
Well, if you're listening to this message, then you're screwed. by the way, I look back at our notes. The animal that the zombie ate was a woodchuck.
Oh, woodchuck. I was close. A woodpecker.
So how
woodchuck?
Much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Well, it would be dead because a zombie ate him. And then there's a scene where Andrea wants her gun.
From Dale.
And he refuses to give it to her. And she says, well, it's my gun. My father gave it to me. Give it back. And Dale says, I'll feel more comfortable if I kept it, which I think was like an unspoken and pretty obvious that everyone, because other people were listening into the conversation too, that he was afraid that Andrea was going to kill herself. That's why he didn't want to give her the gun, because she wanted to stay at the CDC. So why give her a gun?
Yeah, because I think, well, Dale thinks that she's going to kill herself, right?
Yeah.
So Andrea told Dale. Is this where they,
this is not the scene where
they blow up and they start arguing?
No, this is not the scene.
Oh, okay. It's later on.
But
The next morning, actually, right?
No. Yeah, that was the next morning. But before that, Rick comes back with Shane empty-handed, or with Dale, or Daryl. Oh, my goodness.
Rick Dale, Daryl, geez, all the same. No.
The woodsman. Rick comes back with the woodsman and empty-handed. And Carol is just like devastated because the whole time she's waiting by the edge of the highway, waiting for her daughter to come back. And basically, all she can do is really just blame Rick for losing her.
Yeah. Just to blame someone, I guess.
Yeah. And this destroys Rick because, he's in charge of everybody, you know? And losing something, losing Sophia like that just is total, like, shot to his whole leader thing going on, you know? I don't know how to explain it. It's just really bad.
Well, because
reflects bad on him.
Up until now, no one's blamed him for anything, really. I mean, they have, but not verbally.
Yeah.
They haven't told him directly.
Like, the CDC was a total bust and it was Rick's idea.
And Rick, you know, he's doing his best and he's afraid of that. He's afraid of someone coming up and saying, oh, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Or you didn't do enough, right? And now it happens. He screwed up and now someone's blaming him. Oh, you didn't do enough. And that was like the nail in the coffin for, you know, his emotions and everything.
Yeah.
So now he's on a mission now. It's like, okay,
he
really?
He has to.
Really? Okay, I need this now. I got to find her because I don't, no one's going to say
we
that.
We need
I,
this miracle.
Yeah, miracle. Well, miracle is to get a cure and kill all the zombies, but.
But this small miracle to get everybody's hopes up, because if they lose Sophia, then it's just no hope. Ultimately, no hope. She's just a little girl. You know what I mean?
Well,
for the team at the time.
What would you have done?
Ooh, why are they giving me this question? If I was Rick?
No, if you were in that, someone part of the group or just there, not necessarily Rick, but anyone.
Oh, if someone with the group is gone? Well, if I'm not related to that person, then I would just say, well, we'll spend 2 days looking for Sophia, but if we can't find her, we have to move on.
If it was in normal times, like if it was now.
Oh, nowadays?
Nowadays, you know, people would spend like days and days.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Probably like weeks to.
Forever looking for them, because they can.
Until, you know, probably at least 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
You know, with helicopters and police dogs and everything.
Like everybody in their lines just gouging the forest with dogs and everything.
Yeah. But when you're in a survival situation, you basically have no resources for extra frivolous tasks.
Yeah.
And I say frivolous because you kind of, your idea in apocalypse of what is important and what's frivolous changes.
Yeah.
Like your levels of priorities change right away. Whereas now, you know, trying to look for someone is not frivolous. It's like, okay, well, it's very important. Life and death is everything.
But there's a fine line, isn't there? Because they have limited resources. They can't spend all of their resources on there because they don't know when they're going to get another, you know, chance.
So I think the next morning when they go out, I think that's a good, spend another day, you know, looking around. I think that's justified, I guess. And that's what they do, right? They decide the next morning to head out. And as they're heading out, they're basically everyone's going out pretty much, except for Dale.
And T-Dog.
T-Dog's injured.
Yeah.
So Dale's standing by on his RV, scoping things out with his binoculars. And then Andrea goes back to Dale again, asks him for the gun.
Yeah, because this time she says, I'm not going out there without a gun.
And then they have this big blow up where everyone's listening.
Mm-hmm. I really like this scene.
Why?
Because at first, in the previous episode, we were siding with Dale because, oh yeah, it's not fair to him that you can he cares about her and then she just wants to throw that away and walk out of his life or whatever. But then we see her side saying, you don't, basically saying that Dale took Andrea's choice away. The choice. She wanted an easy way out instead of dying at the hands of some disgusting zombie. She wanted to commit suicide. And it was her choice. And Dale basically took that choice away from her by staying with her and, you know, making her save his life. And she's like, what do you expect? Do you expect me to be like, have a change of heart? Like change my mind about this whole suicide thing? And he says gratitude. And she's like, gratitude. You just gave me my one escape. It's gone, basically.
Mm-hmm. You took my choice.
Yeah, which is basically hypocritical for Dale, because Dale was all about choice, because he was telling Jenner and stuff, oh, we should have a choice on whether to leave or not.
And Andrea took the choice, but then Dale decided that, well, everyone has a choice except you.
Exactly. And basically took her choice away.
Yeah. So that's...
And she was kind of cold, saying that, you're not my friend, I'm not your daughter, I'm not your wife.
Or anything, so I'm nothing to you.
I'm not even your problem, so...
Yeah, I'm not your problem either, so, yeah. Yeah, the only reason Andrea left the CDC was because she didn't want Dale to get killed.
She didn't want his blood on her hands.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking at this point, what does everybody else in the group think? Because everybody heard that.
But they were all quiet, they didn't say anything.
I know, but I'm...
between them two.
Yeah. I just want to know what they think.
So they're finally in the forest, everyone's out there running around, and they find a tent.
Yeah.
So there was some guy in the middle of the forest living in a tent who decided to kill himself.
Yeah.
And
Daryl mentioned, oh yeah, he opted out.
Yeah, just like Jenner said.
Mm-hmm. And then they hear a church bell.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, it may be Sophia ringing the bell. It might be someone who found Sophia ringing the bell. Whatever, all these things. So they run after it and they say they find it. There's no steeple. So they're like, well, it couldn't be here. And they go inside the church.
There's three zombies sitting in the pews. Like,
they look like they're just
sitting there. So why would zombies be sitting in there?
Which I went back to my previous theory, where during the beginning of a zombie outbreak, zombies will go back to places that are familiar, like Morgan's wife did.
Mm-hmm.
She tried going back home, remember?
Yeah.
You know, turning the doorknob. Basically the same thing. They, I guess, were really religious and they went to church every Sunday. So that was the strongest thing that was still permanent in their mind when they went. So I guess that's the first place they went.
Yeah. And since they didn't use any of the guns, they decided to use their chop chop weapons.
The chop chop weapons.
Their knives and axes and, you know, just really bashed against the zombies.
One of them had looked like a veil. The woman.
Yeah.
Had a veil, which is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Carol goes in there after they dispatch them because Sophia's not there and starts praying. And Gail cuts out the power of the, because the bell was on a timer. It was like a recording. It wasn't a real bell.
Well, that's another question, was if there's no power, how can that thing work?
I know. I was thinking about that too. Maybe it's like on batteries or something. There was a generator, I guess.
That's a good question. Yeah. Sometimes things happen in shows where they just...
Doesn't
make sense, but it's dramatically, it's kind of more, has more effect.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's more effective if they were like deceived, or it's not really, it doesn't have a steeple, but it has a recording. Oh, well. Okay.
Makes sense.
And it's automated, so there's no real human involved, right? So that they can't say, oh, someone was ringing. Because when they were running to it, they were like, all these ideas were coming in their head, like, oh, maybe it's
Sophia.
Maybe it's Sophia ringing it for help, or maybe it's someone who found Sophia. And,
I realized,
or maybe it's like, yeah, all these ideas of who could be ringing that bell.
Hope.
And at the end, it's like nothing. It's just,
and I was like, automated if system. They, if that bell never rang and they continued on the track, they probably would have found Sophia.
You don't know.
Well, because they were on the trail of her, right? Because Daryl said they were tracking her, and then they totally bolted off in another direction, which just like, I don't think, how can they get back, you know?
Maybe it threw them off. I don't know.
Because they gave up, basically.
But it did give them a chance to pause and pray.
Which is always good.
Because, okay, now we have a church, so now we can go in and pray. And Carol, Carol was praying, and
she kind of blamed herself, too, saying...
Because she wished her husband was dead.
This is what I thought.
And she thought God was punishing her for thinking those bad thoughts.
I thought it was because she was sticking with that terrible husband for so long. That's her punishment. That's what I thought it was. That's what she thought their punishment was.
No, because she was hoping that her husband would die.
Oh, wow.
And now God's punishing her for her bad thoughts.
What?
I don't know.
Oh gosh, Carol. I feel for her.
Because, you know, God wants you to stay in a horrible relationship and get beaten up and all that. Of course she's going to want to kill the guy. The guy's an idiot.
I know. She can't divorce him. I mean,
yeah,
no lawyers around.
Hey,
but Andrea's a lawyer, right? Anyway, so yeah, Rick and Lori are there,
and then
witnessing
Shane,
that.
Shane has a discussion with Lori again.
Yeah, and this time Andrea is eavesdropping.
They don't know about that.
But it doesn't reveal too much, so Andrea doesn't really know. But basically, they're talking and discussing about Shane leaving, and Lori's like, you're just going to leave like that? without telling Rick, without telling Carl, you know, and then...
Yeah, Carl thinks you're mad at him, you know.
He says, it's easier to distance myself now.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, I'm losing everything. I'm going to lose you guys. I'm going to lose him.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of ends the conversation there, and Laurie goes back in, and then Andrea pops out saying, and then they just give each other this look.
And then Andrea says, I heard what you're saying, that you're leaving. I want to come too.
And then she's like, oh God, I want another mouth to feed or to look after.
Andrea wants to get away from the group because she thinks that she and Shane are outcasts.
Yeah.
Or like a third wheel, as she put it.
Well, Shane technically is a third wheel. This is like a legit third wheel. But I don't know about Andrea.
Yeah. I think Andrea's just mad that Dale is like...
overprotective.
And yeah, controlling her and taking the gun and everything, and she can't do anything about it.
Which I kind of understand. I'm like, Dale, I don't know you, okay? Lay off. Like, if she didn't want him to be around, if she didn't want him to care about her, he should respect that, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
At least if he really cared about her, he would respect her opinions and let her be.
I would give her a gun. I would give everyone guns, and I would, you know, but again, this is the early stages, so they're still
holding on to their humanity.
Well, they're still having like rules, like, you know, kids can't have guns and they
shouldn't come with you when you're trying to go on a searching party trip.
Stuff like that. And, you know, I think if everyone can defend themselves, I think it's better overall.
Yeah.
And then Rick goes in and starts praying too.
Yeah. And this is where I think, as someone who's seen the whole season, all the seasons already, I think this is where we see the good cop, Rick,
mm-hmm.
go away, start to fade. Because he's right now he's wearing his deputy outfit with hat and everything and uniform and all that. And slowly but surely we're seeing him deteriorate because he has to make all these hard decisions that a normal person shouldn't have to make, you know? And the toll of being a leader is catching up with him because he's losing hope, right? And that's kind of going to affect his whole outcome.
Yeah, and he when he was praying to JC, he was saying that I wasn't much of a believer. I believed in my family. I believed in work. I believed in you know, other things. Like he was basically so focused on everything else, he didn't really pay attention to religion at all. And I'm thinking now he's seeing that a lot of that is going away.
Yeah, he's spiraling, Dad.
Like a lot of what he used to hold on to is gone. So it was kind of a desperation to say, oh, I'm praying. And he basically said, you know, give me a sign, give me something.
That I'm doing something right.
Yeah. And then Shane goes, you found what you're looking for? He says, like, well, we'll see.
And he also mentions the part where he says finding Sophia would be the miracle that they need to get through.
Yeah, or maybe that's something that he needs.
That's true.
There's also one scene where Laurie...
like,
because they split the group up in half.
Yeah, they say, okay, well, we'll stay by the church just in case Sophia shows up. You guys go back.
And the other group holds back and they rest for a moment.
Well,
and
we forgot to mention that Daryl gives Laurie a gun. And then Andrew gives them like a look because she doesn't get a gun.
Oh, Rick gave Laurie a gun.
No, he wanted to, but she said no. And then Daryl said, okay.
Well, oh, Shane.
No, Daryl said, I'll have an extra.
Oh, Daryl said, yeah, I keep getting mixed up Daryl with Dale. it's the D's that do it. So then Daryl gave Laurie a gun and Andrea's like, oh, great.
It's all everyone, pissed off.
How come she gets a gun and I don't get a gun?
Yeah, so she's like, pouty. And they're going through the forest, going back, and then they take a rest. And then Laurie, this is where I like Laurie. She's like, what did she say? Oh, man, this is my favorite part. And I can't remember, but I do remember that.
Red notes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I just wrote what I was going to say, but I don't know how it started. But basically, Andrea's complaining or something, and then Laurie says, you want the gun?
Yeah, take the gun.
Take the gun, because I'm sick of the looks you're giving me.
Mm-hmm.
And which is like a slap in the face, because that's exactly what Andrea's pouting about. And then she gives her the gun, and then Laurie goes over to Carol and says, you can't keep... It's like, I really understand what you're going through, but you can't keep blaming Rick for Sophia's disappearance. You can't keep blaming that, because it's taking a toll on him, and he's not perfect. He's trying his best.
Mm-hmm. If any of you guys can do any better, go right ahead.
Yeah, because he was the only one that went after her.
Mm-hmm. Nobody else.
And he
did.
Had to make the hard decisions. He's the only one that made that decision.
Yeah, so he did something. So, you know, how can you blame him for something that's happened, you know, during the zombie apocalypse?
Exactly.
It's like, it's chaos, you know?
It's no one's fault. Yeah. If anything, it's the zombie's fault.
Exactly.
And then there's the final scene where Shane Rick and Carl are in the forest and they come across a deer, a really nice big deer, nice antlers and stuff. And Shane was about to take it out and say, food, right? But then Rick is like, no, let Carl enjoy this moment. So he inches closer towards the deer. And then Shane and Rick look at Carl so lovingly. And then Carl just gets shot.
Yeah, we hear a gunshot out of nowhere and Carl gets shot and the deer gets shot with one bullet.
So I think it went through the deer and then Carl.
Uh-huh. And all I can think of is that some hunter.
Obviously.
Right? There was some hunter saw the deer and just shot it, but didn't see Carl behind it or something.
Yeah.
And how can you expect people to be there anyway? I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. In the forest.
And Rick was like, what? He's like, almost couldn't believe it at first. I love reactions. I don't know. I just love reactions. And it was just, yeah. I thought about behind the scenes and how the characters obviously knew what was going to happen, right? But they had to, I wonder how they felt about, like the actors, how they felt about, oh yeah, they're supposed to convey this really happy scene. And then in the end, Carl gets shot. Shatters any hope they had. Because wasn't that kind of like a beacon of hope, sort of?
A beacon of hope?
Like kind of like a metaphor for maybe like, or foreshadowing something good to come, right? They looked happy.
Is that the symbol from God that Rick was saying, you know, give me a sign?
Oh yeah, that could be the sign. And the sign was that maybe he wasn't doing it. Maybe he was doing something wrong because Carl got shot. So
the sign was, don't let your guard down and get dissuaded by these beautiful moments because they're deadly. Don't look at pretty deer because you can get shot.
Because you can die.
I don't know what the message is, but yeah. And that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it. It just ends right there with Carl getting shot, the precious kid.
The golden child. Yeah. And that
concludes episode one for season two.
Yeah, so it's a great start. There were some, I guess there were some slow moments here and there, but in general, it was a pretty good episode.
Very eventful.
Yeah, and a lot of character development as well. I mean, all these episodes have character development.
But I really like the characters, the attention to their characters. Very well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that concludes this episode. Thanks for listening in. And as always, you can check out our website, thewalkingdeadgirl.com, where you can find all our podcasts. And you can also find our podcast on iTunes as well. You can like us on Facebook, The Walking Dead Girl Podcast. Mm-hmm. Leave comments and share this podcast with friends. We'd really appreciate it. And let us know what you think about this podcast. We love to hear feedback.
And I'd also like to say thank you to all the audience as well. Yeah, so please leave feedback and let us know how we're doing.
Yeah.
And we appreciate any comments you have.
And thanks a lot. Yeah, we'll hear from you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is Jasmine signing off.